I do have an announcement for you, and that is for anybody that has nothing to do in the middle week of July, 16th through 21st or so. And we have a soccer camp going on, and we desperately need some volunteers to coach some of these kids. 150 kids that are coachless. That's almost put the fear of God right into you, wouldn't it? But we could use some coaches, so if you would like to help us out in that way. And the other thing that's going to be passed around really, really quickly in the next couple weeks will be a food list because we need some donations towards that as well. Right after I'm finished speaking, Hala's going to come up and bring a benediction. No, she's not. She's going to come up and bring an announcement of some sort. So. Someone decided somewhere along the line that it'd be a good idea to write down some of the statements that Dad makes. I don't know why in the world they want to do that. But I have a few of them here, and I want to share them with you and get them started for you. Just something to ruminate on so that you can take it out on your kids later on. These are words that most dads have said at some point or another, and I'm sure some of them they've taken and picked up from Mom. This one here I recall very well. This is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. Where did they learn to lie like that? Yeah. Quiet, I'm watching the ball game. Another one, don't forget to check the oil. It seems like I use that one a lot frequently. Or bring back all the change. How should I know? Ask your mother. That's a kind of I'm hearing kind of almost a halfway laugh that says, I recall those statements. Yeah, okay. I'm not made out of money. How about, when I was your age, I walked 5 miles to and from school each day, and it was uphill both ways. You are going and you will have fun. Yes. Who's paying the bills around here anyway? Or, if you break your leg, don't come running to me. I've used that. Yeah. Don't put your feet on the furniture, your mother will kill you. Or, get down before you kill yourself. On second thought, go ahead. Yeah. Quit playing with your food. Or be quiet, can't you see I'm trying to think? And this is one I also was raised with is why? Because I said so. If you don't quit that, I'm going to call your mother. A few more. You better get that junk picked up before your mother comes in here. Is everybody afraid of the mom? I'm thinking, probably, yeah. Just wait till you have kids of your own. Yeah. That's the number one curse that parents put on their children is, may you have one just like you. Yeah. Okay, yeah. I was not asleep. I was just resting my eyes. And now I've got makeup all over. Yeah. I suppose we who are fathers could probably add a couple more to that list. But being a parent and a father, it can be interesting and sometimes a trying experience. Now, I'm a proponent that one day in the year cannot be just a Father's Day. I think a father has to be a father every day. And so today we're going to honor fathers, but I think that we need to work at being a father all the time. One father said to his teenage son, he says, do you mind if I use the car tonight? I'm taking your mother out to eat and I would like to impress her. I think he's probably reeling from the fact that his car has been being used a lot. Another father says to his daughter, what's wrong, Judy? Usually you talk on the phone for hours. This time you only talk for 30 minutes. Judy replies, she says, it was the wrong number. A letter from a college student said to his parents read, please send food packages. All they serve here is breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Another son wrote home to his dad. He says, dear Dad, please let me hear from you more often, even if it's only 5 or 10. Maybe you can relate that parenting sometimes can be a real trial. And yet it can be a real blessing as well. So we are here today to remember the Lord and to honor our earthly fathers, and we need to do just that. And the verse I want to pick up from is Genesis 18, verse 19. And I know that's kind of a gruesome passage if you get into it and read the whole passage in the context of it all. But I want to pick out one verse out of there that speaks to us as to being the good dad. For I have chosen him, verse 19, so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him. I've been thinking about a lot about Father's Day this past week or two, and the scripture we just read here is our Heavenly Father is talking about one of our forefathers, and then we have our earthly fathers as well. And we need to kind of work with that and honor both. So those fathers can be known in many different ways. We have biological fathers. We have stepfathers. We have step-in fathers. We have absentee fathers. We have deadbeat dads. There may be many more descriptions of fathers if we really think about it. And some of you have been raised with fathers that were less than perfect, some less than good. And for that, I'm so sorry. But we need to keep our eye on a Heavenly Father who is perfect. What it all says is that being father is a complicated thing. We're all human, with the exception of our Heavenly Father, and that means that we're all imperfect. And the best of us fathers fail our children in some ways. We can't help it. It's the way we are. And that's why we need a Heavenly Father. Nevertheless, the Bible gives us, if not a job description as such, at least some qualities of a good father. You see, any man can make a baby, and a lot of them just do that. But it takes a real man willing to learn and to grow to become the godly father on a daily basis. This morning I want to share seven things a godly father does. Seven qualities, if you would, that we fathers need to strive for. I'm not saying that we've attained it, but we need to strive for them. So quality number one, and you'll find this in your bulletin insert that you've got this morning, is a godly father lights the way. A father lights the way. Another way to put this is the godly father teaches, and he teaches well. The greatest commandment in the Bible is that it tells us that, do you remember that Jesus said that the greatest command was to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, in Deuteronomy 6:5. But the scripture doesn't stop there. The command does not stop there either. There's a period or a comma, and then it continues, and it says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, or when you walk along the road, or when you lie down, or when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands, and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Verses 6 to 9. We need to be looking for those teachable moments when we can actually have a calm conversation that's going to impact your children for their lives. And those often come spontaneously. I call last year, maybe another month from now last year, and Cassie and I went out to get on Buffalo Lake, and I was getting into the boat. She was already in the boat, and I slipped, and she got wet. And it was a teachable moment for me. Because all of a sudden I get called Papa a lot, right? And so I got a different take on that. Papa! Yeah. Teachable moments where we can learn that, hey, sometimes that things rock the boat. Sometimes there are big things that are rocking the boat. And we need to be able to take those as memorable times. God is telling the fathers that we have a responsibility to teach the child to love and with all their heart. And he tells them how to do it. He tells them how to impress this command on their children. And he says, talk about it when you sit down, or when you walk along the road, or when you lie down to sleep, or when you get up first thing in the morning. Any time can be a teachable moment, a spontaneous time when we can actually impact into their lives. They're to tie those scriptures to their hands and foreheads. Write them down on the door frames and houses and gates. Teaching doesn't happen by accident. You have to teach on purpose. You have to plan it, or it probably won't get done. Fathers, we need to teach our children to love God. We're going to get into some of those ways that we do that, but one of the biggest ways is we model it. The proverb says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22, verse 6. The New Testament says, Father, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. In Ephesians 6, verse 4. One of the most important things a father does is to teach his children, and we're teaching them whether we want to or whether we don't want to. We're teaching something. Absentee fathers and deadbeat dads are teaching them that they're not really very important. Nevertheless, they're learning that. They're watching it. We need to teach our children to love Jesus as our first priority. The National Center for Fathering says kids observe everything. And that's the greatest revelation of being a parent, is how much they really do observe, even when we think they're not. It comes back to haunt you, doesn't it? I see some heads going, yeah, it does. Yeah. This is something that as parents, sometimes we overlook or we underestimate all that they've picked up from us. When we parents do good things for others, the kids understand. When we parents are not kind or understanding to each other, or we interact poorly with other people, our children observe and they know that as well. And sometimes they can pick that up really easy and it becomes part of who they are as well. Secondly, quality number two, a father is a leader. Dr. Henderson is a fellow that I took a class with in Bible college. And he says, if you really want to know if you're a leader, just look behind you. If there's nobody following you, you're just out for a walk. So you have to be sure that there's something actually that they want to follow. That's a leader. Scripture we started with this as our Heavenly Father is explaining that one of our forefathers, Abraham, is to lead and to direct his children. It even tells what he is to lead them to do, to keep the way of the Lord. Sounds like not a very onerous task, something we could do. Keep the way of the Lord, except that sometimes we find it very difficult to do that if we're honest with ourselves and realize that we have flaws and things come up and we didn't react real well. Or is that just me? I'm not sure. Got pretty quiet here. Keep the way of the Lord. What way is that? By doing what is just and what is right. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. A father leads by example most of all. I love the example of Joshua set. Listen to the scripture coming out of Joshua 24, verse 15. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's almost an ultimatum. I've made a decision. And as dad here, I have made this choice that you have a look around, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We need to lead. We need to lead. And sometimes we've given that up way too easily and we let somebody else lead, like our school or sometimes the politicians, whatever. And we let them lead us. We need to be leaders. Third quality, Dad. Godly fathers discipline. Listen to the scripture. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you're illegitimate, not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chasten us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of the righteousness to those who have been trained by it. It comes from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 6 through 11. It's hard to believe when you're a child that discipline is an act of love. This is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. Right? We need to know the difference between what is discipline and what is punishment. There is a difference. Discipline can be a very positive thing, and it leads to very positive results. Punishment does not. It actually leads to rebellion. Many fathers have been very heavy on punishment and causes people to rebel. Discipline draws you closer together because it's a learning experience. Punishment is often spoken in anger and harshly, and discipline is usually spoken kindly and lovingly. Firmly, nevertheless, but kindly and lovingly. Punishment produces a bitter, poisonous fruit. Discipline produces the fruit of acting in the right way or righteousness. Fathers, we need to learn the difference between discipline and punishment. Discipline simply means, in the positive, most positive form, is to teach. Quality number four. A godly father has compassion on his children. The psalmist said in Psalm 103, verse 13 and 14, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are but dust. Sometimes a child doesn't need teaching or discipline or even leadership, but he needs a compassionate father. A father that's there, that cares, that shows that. Needs a dad who will put his arm around his son or daughter and the shoulders and weep along with them. I think that often says more and does more than anything else that we could do or say, is to actually feel their pain. And our children need to know that we feel their pain. Their passion. That's what compassion is sharing someone's pain. It is hard for men to do that, especially in our society when we're told that real men don't have feelings or aren't supposed to show their feelings. And I'm thinking that that's a misnomer in a big way, because strongest are those who actually have feelings and show those feelings and are aware of them. But Jesus was a compassionate man. He even wept on a couple of the occasions we read about. We think we need to be more like Jesus in this way. We need to become compassionate with our children. Quality number five. Good Father is there for you. This is about presence. And I don't mean presence, but I mean presence. You know what I'm saying? He's not an absentee father. Listen to our Heavenly Father's witness here in Deuteronomy chapter 1, 29, 31. Then I said to you, do not be terrified or afraid of them. The Lord your God who goes before you, he will fight for you according to all he did for you in Egypt before your eyes and in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son in all the way that you went until you come to this place. Fathers need to be there for their children. As Jesus was about to leave the disciples to ascend into heaven, Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. Matthew 28:19-20. A godly father is there for his children. He makes a way to be there. That's not always the case here on earth. That's why we need a Heavenly Father. I wish I could always be there for my kid and my grandchildren, but I can't. I can't be in several places at one time. It's not possible. I've tried. We have human limitations, but we have a Heavenly Father who can be there always and forever. And what we can't do, God can do. Our job is to lift those kids up to Him in prayer, but also at the times that we can, to be there as a presence. Quality number six. A godly father provides for his children. He may not provide their wants or all that they desire, but he provides their needs. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 5:8, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Wow, there it is in black and white. A directive, if you would. If we fathers do not provide for our families, then we have denied the faith and are worse than unbelievers. We have an obligation to provide for the needs of our families, not just material or financial needs. There are emotional needs, other kinds of needs as well. Listen to Jesus describing our Heavenly Father as he compares his to an earthly father. Or what man is there among you who, if a son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Matthew 7:9-11. So Jesus portrays a good earthly father as someone who provides good gifts to his children and good food to them. Fathers have a God-given responsibility to provide for their families. The last quality is the greatest gift is love. A father needs to love his children. And how do we do that? Well, the Bible tells us. There's a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It says, love suffers long and is kind. I think it's chapter 13. It is. Love does not envy, does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked easily. It thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. So as fathers today, we need to learn to love. We need to know what that means. Some fathers think it means bringing a paycheck home, and that's the way they show love. Dads need to learn the various other aspects of love. We just read and read 1 Corinthians 13 from time to time and say, okay, one aspect is to provide, but another is, and there's so many of them there. Perhaps it'd be wise to pick up the book, The Five Love Languages, and find out what love language your child responds to best. Could it be touch, gift, time, whatever? We need to love. So those are some qualities that we can take home and work with over the week and the weeks as we are still very much connected as dads. When does dad quit? When he takes his last breath. That's when he quits. It doesn't stop. I want to conclude. It is hard being a father today, specifically in our society. It's not that easy. But it always has been. That's why after you have done your best, lift up your family to the Lord in prayer and bring them to church. That's a good thing too. Perhaps do some Bible studies with them. Have devotions with them. But above all, introduce them to the Heavenly Father. And the fact that you have a relationship there is going to make it easier that they can see and emulate that relationship. You will have done your job and they will be eternally grateful for it. Many of them literally. So, there's some good qualities for us to take home, Dad. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you and I thank you for the opportunity that we have to be here. And Lord, as we look at some qualities that we can work on as fathers, Lord, we just ask that you'll help us to be able to dwell on those things. To be able to apply them into our lives and to the lives of our children and our families. And Lord, we'll give you glory. Give us the ability to be able to make a difference in our families. In Jesus' name I pray it. Amen.